Blog Talk Radio.
Chainsaw Joe Gacy just came into the Proving Ground through the side door. Wait a minute. The Chainsaw Joe Gacy? The Chainsaw? That's what this was all about? The Chainsaw Gift? That mysterious video in the woods? Begging for mercy? Saying no? Joe Gacy has made a mark in a big way, and Dean Dixon seems to be in the corner of Joe Gacy. Oh, I hope to God that Dean Dixon didn't orchestrate this entire plot. Oh, but he did! Oh, the fans are trying to keep him from getting a chair! Oh, my God! Dean Dixon, why would you do this? Have you learned nothing? I'm at the Chainsaw! He takes out the voice of the boy, John Warren! Nothing is sacred for these two! Joe Gacy! Dean Dixon! I can't believe! I thought I knew Dean Dixon so well!
You know what, Tank? You're showing up to a fist fight with your bare hands. I'm bringing the chainsaw.
And I followed your career, and I respected you.
I did.
Okay. I respected your run in WWE as one of the six. I respected your run in Ring of Honor. When I first heard you were coming to New Moon Rising Wrestling last year, around this time, I believe it was in April you made your debut.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I was very excited. Now, I was on the other side of the guardrail. We all started out on the other side of the guardrail. I went up to you. Yes, I went to put out my hand, shake your hand, and talk about that match you had with Robert and Pichon.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And nothing. Nothing.
Mm-hmm.
It was like I didn't even matter. This is a person I respected. You know what they say about a guy that you admire all of your life, and then when you finally meet him, they're a jerk? That was you. Okay?
Yeah. Is that right? I would say I have a mind like a steel trap, and I remember things quite well. And as far as hitting you in the mouth, I hit you in the mouth. I like to do my charity, my part with charities, and I feel sometimes brightening up the day of someone that lives under a rock, such as Dean, it's the least I can do. When you're a star that shines as bright as I do, it's nice to let a little bit of that sunlight, that bright shining star, creep under that crock, that rock that he lives under. You know, it's the least I can do to help out, and I'm sure you understand, you know, how hard it is to deal with some certain people such as him. I mean, you know, he's
working hard every week.
The guy's pretty much, he's just a no good little rat, and I have and that's from the bottom of my heart, and I never speak badly about people unless I truly, truly feel that they're not good people. And I think he's one of those guys that's just an evil little shady guy who is going to be undermining and underhanded and backstabbing. So I'm at least glad I know where I stand with him. And he sure knows where he stands with me.
What a day it is. It's Wednesday. It's the Saturday after Reign of Fire, and you are listening to Hell in a Cell Talk Radio. I am your host, the Dean of Credibility, Double D, and you can find me at Folsom County. With me, as always, is someone who supports damn near everything I do. That's right, it is the above-average comedian, Dan, the man, Calachico.
Almost everything you do.
Well, I certainly believe I have your endorsement on this one, don't I?
Whatever will not get me hit with a chair or punched in the face.
And with me from the very start.
I'm on Dan Law 83, by the way. Don't let me not promote myself.
With me from the very start again is, of course, our wrestling and MMA analyst, Omega Squad, Chris Green. How are you, sir?
Chris, you tell him how you feel because you're miles away. You can't get hit.
I'm disappointed. I am disheartened.
Disgusted.
Other words for annoyed.
Now,
flabbergasted.
Flabbergasted.
Balderdash.
Now,
shenanigans.
Of course, Reign of Fire. Tank Tolan, the reign, his championship reign ended with a distinct thud as Chainsaw Joe Gacy debuts, and we are now, Joe leaves with the title. A new champion crowned at Reign of Fire.
Stealing it doesn't mean he's the champ.
Is that how that works now?
Yeah, I was going to say, I mean, you harped on Fusion DS not winning a match.
Can we consult the unified rules of pro wrestling on that?
It's in the Library of Congress. It's in there somewhere.
It is in there somewhere, and let's just say possession is 9/10 of the law. So I'm very pleased to say Joe Gacy is the new Moon Rising Wrestling.
You would be pleased.
Finally, that bully got what was coming to him. On a night when he had the handicapped heroes there talking about kicking the kids, which you should, and which I did that night.
Kicking with kids.
Yes, there's a different modifier in
there's
there.
There's a different.
Not kicking the, kicking with.
That's different vernacular.
Yeah.
No, whatever it was.
Whatever it was wrong. You were wrong.
I was not wrong, Dan.
That's kicking it for kids or with kids, not kids.
You know what? I think.
And you dragged a poor kid across the floor.
I did. He attempted to stop this.
Well, he did deserve it.
Assault. And, you know, you have to do what you have to do in those situations, my friend.
Stay out of it.
Well, certainly that kid should have stayed out of it. So, Dan, how do you feel about Tank limping away? Getting what he deserves.
How did he deserve any of that? Because you don't like him?
Let's go back to November, a match that he had with Justin America.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Well, and why did you get involved there?
I didn't get involved there. What are you talking about?
Excuse me. Dean Kane, not Superman. You handed Justin America a cane, and Justin America got what was coming. Schmuckin America got what was coming to him. Through the table. Boom!
Boom! You know what, Dan? I think I have something for you. You know, something maybe to change your mind, maybe.
Earth-shattering.
Well, to come around to my way of thinking, perhaps.
You have substantial and compelling evidence.
Is this more altered audio that you spent all day doing? I'm sure.
Altered audio? No. We'll get to a guest stand right after this.
And I'm gonna look back at him and whisper, "No."
Come All right, it is with great pleasure that I bring on the new Moon Rising Wrestling Heavyweight Champion, Chainsaw Joe Gacy. How are you doing tonight, Joe?
You know what? It's a good thing you asked, because after this past weekend, I'm feeling pretty great.
I'm feeling good, too. Finally, people know what was going on. Now, Joe, let's talk about this. Let's talk about you coming in through the side door. How did it feel to crack the bat right across Ted Dolan's knee?
Tell you what, it's almost like picture when you're a small child and you're walking through a toy store and you see that bright, shiny yellow piece of plastic toy that you've been wanting forever and ever. And when you're a young child, at least when I was a young child, I didn't exactly get things handed to me all the time, so I had to save my money, make money, save my money. And eventually I got to walk into that toy store, pick up the toy, bring it to the front counter, and pay for it, and walk out and finally go home and play with it. That moment when I opened the plastic, that was exactly what it felt like when I swung that bat at Tank Cohen's knee.
Now, it wasn't just one swing of the bat. You hit several home runs that night, and let me say, I mean, each one better than the last.
The first one was the most satisfying one.
Mm-hmm. No, I think.
Why was that necessary? Why do you have to
beat
a guy? Why
wasn't it necessary?
What point does that make?
I think
does it have to serve a point?
So it's just random violence now.
Well, I mean, you got a guy with a heavyweight title who claims to be the best when obviously he's never been in the ring with me. So I had to shut him up before he kept talking.
There you go. So he shuts him up. It was a preemptive strike, Omega. See, he's going around talking like he is the man. He is on top of this mountain, and obviously he wasn't.
Listen,
who walked
out? Here's the thing. I have sat in the building at New Moon Rising, okay? People may have not known I was there, but I was there. And I saw the way that he walked through the building, okay? I saw the way he strutted through the door, carried his bag in, looked at everyone like he was better. And I don't appreciate people who think that way. And you know what? If you think what I did was a random act of violence or you thought it was unnecessary, well, then you obviously were brought up a little different than I was.
Look, with respect and honor.
And dignity, integrity, Dean Dixon.
Integrity? You want integrity?
Sir.
How about integrity being I take what I want when I want it?
I'm not going to tell you now.
Now, Joe,
I'm not going to sit and wait for things to be handed to me. I come in and I do as I please because that's how I live.
Now, Joe, we may have to deal with something coming up because perhaps in the moment we may have gone too far. Don Warren was in there trying to help out Tank, and well, we know what happened there. You took him out. Now, are you afraid of any perhaps punishment coming from this?
Well, you know what, to be honest, he can do what he wants, but all I'm going to say, buddy, to him, wrong place, wrong time.
Certainly was. Now, Joe, it is a great honor, of course. It's only up from here, quite frankly, because the next show, who are we going to target at the next show? Do you even have, like, a short list? I mean, we haven't had a chance to talk since then. Okay, so
you know what,
do you have like a short list of someone?
I never had a list. I mainly had a target, and I think I hit that target right on the bullseye. So I'm going to walk out to that ring, raise my newly acquired New Moon championship. If somebody wants to walk out into the ring and try to snatch it from me, they could be my guest.
Okay, I certainly wouldn't want to be the one that tries to snatch it from you, but Joe, congratulations. It was a long time coming, let me tell you, because now you have the gold. You are the top dog in New Moon Rising Wrestling. And can you just tell Dan to back off just a little bit, because he's been giving me a hard time ever since Saturday.
Well, you know what? he might also be in the wrong place at the wrong time at the next
show. You know, I think I have something to do that day.
Oh, June 15th, you might not be there, huh?
I might have something to do that day. I don't know.
That would probably be the best.
I foresee me leaving the oven on or something.
You might have to.
I gotta turn around, turn it off. Ugh.
Now, personally, Joe, I can't wait until both of us come out through the curtain at the next show. You with the newly won championship, and you know we're gonna put everybody on notice, I think.
Oh, great.
You know what I can't wait for? I can't wait to open the door to the locker room, walk in, and have everyone cower in fear as they stare at me walk by.
Through the eyes of a psycho, Joe. Through the eyes of a psycho. Thank you so much for coming on. We're going to have you next week. We're going to talk about a few other things going on in your career. You have Tournament of Death, a lot of other stuff coming up on your plate, so we'll discuss that next week. But I just wanted to get you on today to congratulate you on that big win over Tank Toland.
Well, thank you.
All right, so
finally,
Joe,
somebody who appreciates me.
That's right.
Thanks, Joe.
Yeah,
we'll talk to you
next
week, Joe.
All right, I'll talk to you.
A lot of people to hit with a bat.
We got a lot of things to do, but we'll be right back on the other side.
And I'm going to look back at him and whisper, no.
Idea how proud I am of Joe.
I think I'm going to have to hire some protection.
In one night, Joe comes in and wins the title. It's such a beautiful thing.
You didn't win anything.
Who has the title?
Dean. You're drooling a little bit. Clobberfest is a little excessive.
Who has the title? That's my question. Answer the question. Who left the building? Who left the proving grounds with the title Saturday?
Someone has a belt. Joe Gacy has a belt. He does not have a title.
Hulk Hogan left Bash at the Beach 2000 with a belt. He wasn't the champion.
Dan. What happened in WCW stays distinctly within WCW.
That's the same thing. He stole a belt and that's it.
You know what?
No, what?
I'm just the accomplishments that this guy has. One day. Who's his first challenger? I'm waiting to hear from the board. They won't get back to me.
What do you want him to do? I mean, it's obviously you're in some sort of collusion here. Like the whole issue, it's like, what are we going to do next? Who are we going to target next? What's up with that? That you're a commentator.
Yeah. What about taking us for the ride? You tell us nothing. You did nothing. Well, you know, I'm just going to do this myself.
Yeah.
A little bit of jealousy, I see.
No, I'm glad you didn't. I don't ever want to be on that side of things.
That side of things. What side is that, Dan?
The bad side.
The right side.
The right side. Mm-hmm. Theft is not right.
We didn't steal anything. I mean, Mr. Gacy didn't steal anything.
Mr. Gacy stole the belt. Mr. Gacy, with all due respect, didn't win in a 1-2-3.
Now,
the video evidence, I think Dean actually stole it.
I think... Oh, son of a bitch.
Hmm.
Okay, well then you're the world champion, and I think you should defend it as such every month on every 101 and a 101 match with a member of the New Moon roster.
Here's my point, though. Here's the biggest point that I have.
This ought to be earth-shattering. Go ahead.
Can Tank Toland defend that title next month? June 15th, will he get Heat Wave? I don't think so.
No, but you know what? I hope you know what? You can keep that belt. Let's make it a world title without you.
I've heard
I think it's in the budget.
I've heard he's contemplating retirement as we speak. Old Yeller has to be taken out sometime.
I'm going to have to drive down there and talk to him.
I'll tell you what, the Young Lions, Dan. It's time for the Young Lions to...
What are you doing on there? Aren't you like 10 years older than them?
Who, Joe?
Yeah.
I think I am. But what's that going to do with anything?
With Young Lions, with one old guy.
Do I have to get Joe back on?
No. Okay. No, please, sir.
Okay. Boss. Remember what he told you, wrong place, wrong time.
Professor.
Wrong place, wrong time. So that of course, was...
I would like to...
Rain the fire.
I would like to state for the record that everything I've just said in the last 10 minutes did not happen.
I have it.
It's in the grassy knoll.
It's going to be an MP3.
In the books or depository. Not suppository.
Dan, perhaps we can agree on one thing. Don Warren, chair shot to Don Warren. Come on.
That's pretty awesome.
Come on, you have to give me props on that one.
What?
You have to give me props on that one.
What? It was spectacular. The only chair shot that was probably worse was mine.
Well, yeah, you did. Yeah, you did get hit by Matt Tremont during.
The only thing you know what. The only thing I'll say is the only chair shot I've heard worse that night was one that Tremont took to his head without getting a chance to put his guard up, just taking it flush on the head.
My greatest regret of the whole thing.
You didn't kill him?
No, I didn't see the main event. Joe and I had to get the hell out of there.
Because you ran away? Is that what happened?
I didn't run away. We
Chris, I'm going to text you some things to say.
We had some press conferences and...
you had obligations.
Yes, we had press conferences.
Like getting the heck out of Dodge.
I mean, when you're a heavyweight champion of the world, as Mr. Gacy is...
Speeding away in the car.
Right.
These things.
You had to run and catch an extraction. Yes, gotcha.
Mm-hmm. An old-fashioned CIA extraction.
Regardless, Dan...
I can picture the two of them sitting out there with that balloon, and the plane comes by and picks him up.
Irregardless, Dan, we have our first guest tonight.
Second.
Well, Joe is more of a...
Surprise!
Yeah, more of a surprise there for everyone. So, we're going to have our first guest.
Mm-hmm.
And that is, of course, highly entertaining wrestlers. Well, one half of highly entertaining wrestlers. Xavier Cross is on the runway in France, I believe. I'm not sure. He's somewhere.
He's about the right size.
But Drew Blood will be here and the Financial Miracle Loudy. Now, this Saturday, On Point Wrestling returns, Dan, to the Proving Grounds in Deptford, New Jersey. 1030 Delcy Drive, Building 4W in Deptford, New Jersey. And I'll tell you what, they have some opponents they're going to talk about. It's, of course, Delirious from Ring of Honor and Pinky Sanchez. You thought that feud was over at the last show? It's not, Dan. Pinky Sanchez, Drew Blood, they still have some bad blood between them. So we're going to get to that right after this. If I can find, I'll tell you. It's one of those days. I'm just so flabbergasted.
Why don't you just put the belt down?
I'm so flabbergasted, Dan.
Put it down.
Excited, if you will.
Life is a mystery. Everyone must stand alone. I hear you call my name, and it feels like home. When you call my name.
right, so it is with great pleasure I introduce highly entertaining wrestlers. How are you doing tonight, sir?
Dean, how are you tonight? It is I, the Financial Miracle, and I am doing amazing. Drew will be on, but right now I will be taking the call. Hope you guys are doing good.
Okay, so Drew is held up. I'm sure he's training quite
He is at the gym, yes.
Okay,
but
so...
But, Dean, I must say, just Dean, right out the gate, I have to say, ready? The pop of a cork on a great bottle of wine, fresh baby powder, and that amazing song are things that just get me tickled, I'm telling you. I hope all your listeners out there are enjoying that.
You know what? I certainly enjoyed it. Now, of course, let's talk about one thing real quick. I believe Drew is joining us now. Let me just double-check here. Drew, is that you?
I'm back, boys.
All right. It is Drew Blood. Blood. Welcome back to the cell, sir. So,
always your pleasure.
Yeah, let's talk about first. I want to talk about New Moon Rising Wrestling. You guys took on the Handicapped Heroes. And through, I think they bullied you, quite frankly, which is kind of ironic. But
I just put my registration for my handicap stickers, because if I got beat by handicap guys, I definitely have to be handicapped.
There you go. There you go. So, Loudy.
It was a I misunderstood. You know, one-legged, he had better balance. It took me off a little bit, you know. And his drop kick, man, with that one foot. Well, he only has one foot, but, you know, it hurt.
Jesus.
I'm sure it did. I'm sure it did.
Christ. No. No, never.
You guys...
Hey, Laddie, how's your face feel?
Especially a pogo stick.
Listen, we, without question, underestimated that tag team. We took
you
them for granted because of their weaknesses, and they, in the end, won. Give us a rematch anytime, anywhere, any continent, any state, any city, and I promise... We will finish first.
That little arm was a deadly weapon.
Yeah, ask Loudy. His face bounced off his arm like three times before you hit the floor.
Had to get a crown stitch the next
year. I just because I had health insurance.
Oh my god.
And dental.
Well, let's refocus here, guys, because this Saturday,
losing to a handicapped tag team is better than wrestling for Riot Pro.
And the line of the night goes to Drew Blood.
Oh, that's only the first one, boys.
It's early, gentlemen.
Yeah, I figured as much.
Well, we're out of time. Gotta go.
I'll let you ask some questions before I burn away.
Okay. Now, the first question I have is, of course, on point, you guys return this coming Saturday from the Proving Grounds. Now, you're facing Delirious and Pinky Sanchez. Now, Loudy, this one's for you. Do you have both Drew and Xavier ready for this? I mean, this is quite a challenge.
Does a Corvette need to be hummed up and ready? Does a million-dollar man need to walk down the hallway and yell, I am $1 million? No. Highly entertaining wrestlers have been born ready. Drew Blood has single-handedly pimp-slapped Pinky Sanchez up and down the East Coast for the last 3 years, proving it once again that he is superior. Pinky got lucky at the first show, and tonight, this Saturday, you'll hear me say it very loudly. Drew Blood and Xavier Cross, regardless of the psychotic little partner that Pinky wants to parade down to the ring, are going to be victorious. Tell him, Drew.
I'm bringing my mace for Delirious because he's a little unpredictable. But Pinky Sanchez, you know, he's another push under the covers right there. You know, like, he gets under my skin so much. Like, how many ass whoopings are you going to take, kid? Seriously, how many times do I have to beat you belligerently to get it through your head? I beat the body odor off you before. Come on.
So,
ouch.
Obviously, you guys are definitely ready for this. But like you said, Delirious, he brings that unorthodox offense. I mean, you're 100% ready for that.
I'm sorry, Dean, did you say unorthodox?
I don't understand his language yet.
I did say unorthodox,
You said unorthodox, right?
Yeah,
I guess you didn't meet our other partner, Xavier Cross, okay? Because that's unorthodox. So whatever Delirious brings, he better be ready. Because Xavier's got his number.
So, So Xavier is the one who's going to take out Delirious, and then it's just going to be Drew and Pinky going at it.
No, it's not so much taking out Delirious. It's playing little mind games with Delirious, so to speak.
No, okay. Well, what type of mind games? Give me an idea of what we're going to see.
Are you blind? Do you not see what this dude wears to the ring? That's not a mind game enough for you?
True.
What kind of
True.
Guy am I wrestling? What am I going to expect in this match? He's wearing pink and flamboyant friggin' tutus and whatever else he wears.
Drew.
Hold on,
Drew. Listen, Dean. As for you and your excellent co-host and all the fans listening right now, we're not going to tell you live on Hell in a Cell how we're going to defeat Delirious. All you people out there, listen. Buy a ticket. Because just like Chip Kelly's offense this year, we're going to be explosive on Saturday. Yow.
Okay, explosive on Saturday. But this isn't the only thing that's going on. I've been trying to talk to Matt. He's not letting me know exactly what this House of Hardcore match is, or House of Horror. I'm not even sure.
Don't ruin everything. Don't ruin everything.
And then
don't
see
be
on
your partner and ruin everything.
Dean.
And then
Dean,
I don't ruin anything.
Dean, listen, gentlemen, in terms of Matt Tremont versus Life Louis Ramos, all I got to say is if you're not there, you're going to be very upset on Sunday morning when everyone is talking about the past, the hardcore, psychotic guy from New York coming to meet the young, up-and-coming Matt Tremont. It's a bulldozer. Meets Louie. This is what it's all about this Saturday. I'm telling you, gentlemen, and anyone out there, this is the match that brings everyone back going, I want to watch this.
And at that point, nothing else matters. Plug.
Yeah, cha-ching.
Very, very nice, actually.
Now, I did see that this is also a fans bring the weapons match, but no glass, please.
Dean... You know, the proving grounds, you know, I don't know. Yeah.
A little crazy.
You know what I mean? You know?
You know, there's certain obligations we have to stay under. That's a great question on your part, way to throw me under the fire. But
you know what I mean, Dean?
Well, it was publicly announced. I thought it was,
that's the only answer you got, buddy.
I thought I was on Hell in a Cell, but, you know, this is a scoop, I guess. Well, there are obligations in New Jersey that we have to stay under. And Matt Tremont and Louie, regardless of glass, Dean, are going to absolutely tear the proving grounds up this Saturday and prove that nothing else matters. Again, plug cha-ching.
Yeah,
plug. Cha-ching. Now, okay. Another match I think you might have your eye on.
Which is a glass-only match, right?
No, no glass. No glass. No glass, Dan. No, but...
paint chips.
but a match that I think you'll have your eye on from the back, Cloudy, is Latin Dragon with Chrissy Rivera versus Amasis versus Mascara Celestial versus Oz, the debuting Oz. Now, what are we gonna see in that one?
Absolutely. You know what? First of all, it's so awesome that I have the greatest cruiserweight ever, Drew Blood, on the phone right now with me. So Drew can even walk you through this with me. Four men enter in what we love to call the Fantastic Four-Way. Latin Dragon, Luchador, Mascara Celestial, Luchador, Amasis. If you don't know who Amasis is, well, you shouldn't be listening to Hell in a Cell because you should be in a freaking four-room cornered padded wall thing. And in Oz. Oz is a young man that without question has shown all his peers, anyone around him, that he wants this. He desires to be great.
He wrestled in WCW back in the early 90s, right?
Who's that?
Different Oz.
Oh, different Oz.
Different Oz.
No, that man was behind the curtain.
Are you eating paint chips?
Exactly.
Sometimes, Drew.
But the real thing is, Oz, many of you don't know him. Again on Sunday morning, the whole world will know that no one on the corner's got swagger like Oz. You heard that here
first. And this kid has the least experience in this match, and he's going to be the in my opinion, the most outstanding in this match. He's going to shine the most in this matchup, Oz.
Wow, that's quite an endorsement from highly entertaining. Well, that's a highly entertaining endorsement.
You know, Dean, you know.
Dan. Now,
gives you a
another
match. Match, right? You know, buy a ticket, come sit.
Exactly. Now, Mr. On
yes.
Point makes his return to the Proving Grounds. He won a 64-man tournament in Brazil to be called Mr. On Point. Leon St. Giovanni is taking on the notorious one, Devin Moore. And I think that's a coup getting Devin Moore for this Saturday.
Just a little clarification. I don't know the sheet in front of you, but it was actually Leon St. Giovanni winning a 8-man single invitation only tournament 1 year ago this weekend. To call
make the correction.
On point. He actually won the 64-man tournament you're referring to qualify. Just a little back history. But this match is Mr. On Point, the cocky man of our establishment, calling himself Mr. On Point, but meeting. Well, you know what? Gosh, I feel like Stockton and Malone right here. True. Tell these people that are listening on Hell in a Cell all about the notorious scumbag, Devin Moore.
The notorious scumbag, Devin Moore. Nobody knows this man better than me. And
that's
I tell
true.
You what. He wrestles to his stature. And to tell you one thing, if he feels like he needs to pull out his punches, he will. But he can beat anybody without even trying. And that's why he does what he does. But when he tries, he's the best there is in this business.
That's true.
Well,
I have seen.
Jose Giovanni has his hands full with Devin Moore. Depends on what kind of mood Devin Moore is in.
And how much he has consumed, if you catch my drift. Now, I'm just saying, you never know. Things get crazy at the Proving Grounds. We have the King of Drinks in New Moon, so I know how it is back there. Yeah, but, well, yeah, very. Yeah. Anyway, the next match is Monster Mac taking on Bad News Hughes.
I feel bad for Bad News Hughes.
I do, too.
This is actually going to be an amazing catch-as-catch-can match for those of you at home. This will be shades of late 80s, early 90s, amazing, can't-take-your-eyes-off-it match. Pure gold.
Okay.
Remember this.
WWE Superstar Squad.
Promise. Greatness.
The new flavor, Shane Strickland, will be making his debut against Real Deal Mike Drastic. So, let's. What do the fans have to see when it comes to Shane Strickland here? Because, of course, you might know him from CZW, but this is on point. He might really be turning up the dial.
Sure. Would you like to talk about Shane?
Shane Strickland, man. He's come up in a ways in this past year in CZW. And I'll tell you what, On Point's going to be no different for Shane Strickland. He told me personally that he's ready to do what it takes to be on point.
As for Mike Drastic, my scouts in New York and Upper New Jersey have given me the stamp of approval on young Mike Drastic and have informed me that this man is going to get every single fan that is in that building out of their seats. And you can yawn all you want, whoever that was.
That was
I wasn't
it.
Yawning.
But I guarantee you that Mike Drastic goes from the guy from New York to the guy on every iPay-per-view all around this area because he will be scooped up after this match. He is that good. He is the real deal.
I wasn't yawning. I was sighing at the fact that he said Upper Jersey. What about the rest of Jersey?
Well, you know what? We're already in South Jersey, and Mike Drastic does not actually wrestle down this way. He is more North Jersey, New York. So my scouts up there have scouted
him
there in his area, his territory, if you will. Thank you.
That makes sense. I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Don't yell. Don't yell at me.
I'm not yelling. I can't yell at greatness. You are just such. You're adorable.
You heard that, right, Dean?
I did.
I'm great and adorable.
I would have said cuddly, but I don't know.
I'll take
fluffy.
It all.
Fluffy.
Hey, I'll take it all. That's fine, too.
Okay, now a match that I'm going to have my eye on, it's the Sideshow Pro Exhibition. It's a tag team showcase. Of course, it's Nathan Avery and the Chainsaw Joe Gacy taking on Anthony Graves and KC Pinham, the man of a thousand pins. Tell me about that.
I'm glad it ain't Clockwork, that's all I'm saying.
Well, you know, first, everyone has to know that, in case you didn't read it online, On Point officials and Sideshow officials did have a meeting after CZW's last show mandating that it's either Joe Gacy or Matt Tremont touch each other at any point during the show. They both will be suspended from their said companies. So the fans will be safe. And as far as Sideshow Pro, I mean, it speaks for themselves. Joe Gacy and Nathan Avery are two bad hombres. And KC Pinham, 1,000 pins, got them all. I've seen like 52 of them. at an expedition in Toledo, I believe it was, a couple weeks ago, and it was darn near impressive. And as for Anthony Graves, well, I still have nightmares from the time I went to Sideshow Pro and that man violated me with his claws of death. So I hope Joe Gacy punts his face off further than he kicked Alfredo Majors. Hoorah!
I'm personally upset that he didn't
make it. I know.
Listen, this card's going to be great, you know, guys. But, like, I want to send in my condolences to those fellas who couldn't make the on-point card, you know, that didn't make the cut. Like, number one, Fredo Majors. You know, sorry, pal. You didn't make the cut for on-point. Maybe you can get booked for Riot Pro. Oh, wait, you run Riot Pro, and that's the only place you can get booked. Oh, wait, yeah.
Oh.
Hold on a second.
The following messages are from Drew Blood,
hold on.
Drew Blood believes in what he is saying.
Last time I checked, my
it.
Shit does stink, and, you know I'm good because you have all my DVDs.
I love you, Drew.
Oh, boy.
Hey, Drew, how
I have a pair
hey, Drew,
of
what
pads that are older than your career.
Oh, that's tough.
Oh, my.
You have listening to the Drew Blood. Tell it like
this
it
is. This is the Drew
Blood.
Did
you think I'm stiff? You haven't seen stiff.
Actually, he has seen
all
stiff.
Right.
Oh, no.
On point.
Never.
May
25th. Don't write checks your ass,
2013. Live at the Proving Grounds.
So, Drew, how do you really feel?
Oh, my.
Look, I really don't like to talk about how I feel. Sometimes I like to show it, but I'm pretty sure that I can't get Fredo Majors booked on any show with me anywhere.
Oh, my. Move
the time
right
to get me on the same show as me is when he's buying a ticket.
Jesus.
God, I love it.
All right.
I love it.
Bring it back, gentlemen. Bring it back.
Shoot! Right? Is that what he was doing? That was he doing last time, right?
So
talking this
Saturday.
Wrestling, May 25th, 2013.
Saturday.
I got the Wild Sicilian, Robbie Marino, taking on Little Rory Mondo, and I this could really steal the show.
There's a lot of bad blood between these two men.
Blood,
you watch the interview that they put on, catching up behind the scenes. You catch Robbie Marino being as graphic as possible, telling Rory straight to his face that, oh, you might have watched me in the crowd, and I should have slapped you then. But this week, I have to say that this one is the one where we're all going to be at the monitor in the back because it's going to get real. And Robbie has vowed that he is going to slap Rory straight in his face. So everyone at home that wants to see that.
That promo was so classic because the word dreidel was in it.
Oh, wow.
And Rampy.
That is a...
Yeah, Rampy.
You know, Robbie doesn't look like a big guy, but I'll tell you what. The Sicilian, man, he's a bad SOB.
Yes, he proved that at a CZW NBA show when he defeated the highly entertaining wrestlers. But let's not talk about that.
Yeah, it wasn't
that. Which doesn't happen often. It only happens when there's a full moon.
It only happens every third Saturday on a leap year. So,
Fair enough. Now,
our job
is
to make other guys look good.
Fair point.
Oh, Lord.
That's why we're entertaining. Highly entertaining.
To wrap up this card, it's a big one. Now, talking about tag teams and tag team specialists, the Machine, S. Shields. Now, of course, he formerly of the Midnight Sensations, he's taken on I Am God, Anthony Cortez Haynes. And again, this is another one that I'm going to be watching closely because this is quite interesting.
Rockside Prince.
Well, Sam Shields is another young, hungry New York wrestler who contacted On Point personally and wanted to show that he's on point. And the offices said, sure, kid, come in. And you know what? I have been told from my New York scouts, again, that this kid is a can't-miss, unbelievable wrestler. And for those of you in this area, you know who Anthony Cortez Haynes is. He is God. He was the first one to say it. It's true. And on Saturday, these two are going to lock horns and prove who is on point and who is not.
No, right.
You guys see the pattern here? See the pattern here? You know, these young, talent, hungry guys want to get on point. This is the place to be. On Point Wrestling is where these guys want to come, that they don't get the chances anywhere else. Nobody else gives these guys chances. We will. On Point will. So, guys, keep working hard.
Okay. And I do have a caller. I do have a caller. Yeah. So I'm going to put him on.
One of our fans.
Sure what they want to ask.
One of our fans is calling.
All right, caller 212, you're on the air with Highly Entertaining Wrestlers.
Hello.
Lousy. I hear you guys talking. I hear you guys yapping. But what you're not realizing is that your gums is moving, and the gums is moving, and all I'm hearing is hot air. That's what I'm hearing. Yeah, exactly. That's what happens when you walk out from the curtain. The whole crowd goes...
Pinky Sanchez.
That's
you
right.
Have the audacity to call Hell in the Cell while we're on here?
Yes.
You
yes,
have the audacity?
Listen, homeboy, I heard you guys are going to be on a radio show. I said, why don't I call in? I love calling in radio shows. I love crashing the parties. I am the party crasher, brother.
Yeah, when you're good in this business, that's what happens sometimes. You get invited on radio shows.
Hey, Tinky, why don't you start thumbing it so you can get to the show on time, huh?
Yeah. Let me tell you something. We got the New York City carload ready. We got Monster Mac. We got Low Life Louie. We got the Real Deal Mike Drastic. We got the Machine Sam Shields. And we got the man in the back seat of the car with the champagne and the caviar and the rats, Pinky Sanchez.
You can't even spell caviar, Pinky Sanchez. And you know
C-A-V-I-A-R. Caviar.
He's going to distract me from me. I'm going to focus on you 100%, Piggy. I'm coming to kick your ass for the last time. This is it, man. I'm done. I've had it with you. I'm up to my neck in your shit, and I've got to put an end to you at On Point this Saturday.
Yeah?
Thank you, Sanchez.
Yeah?
This Saturday,
let me tell you something,
yeah.
Brother. I'm not saying you ain't got a shot to do it. You're on
but
point,
you
brother.
Shot,
you know
I
it. Let me tell you something, brother. Adam to Raymond, you know you're the man. You know you and me do magic in that ring, but you know I'm a better man, and it kills you inside. And that's why when I shook your hand, I had to smack you right in your face with my foot. That's right. I give you that excellent super kick so you can remember.
Man, it was just a receipt.
You can remember, and I'm not a boy anymore, Drew Blood. I'm not a boy anymore. I'm a man, and I'm bringing a crazy man with me. And we're going to take
insanity.
You on. You and that little precious little Xavier Cross, you guys are going to get what's coming to you again.
You leave my porcelain doll alone.
Yeah, your porcelain doll's about to get cracked. I'll tell you that.
No.
Yeah,
yo, just because
right.
I'm coming in sound, baby, doesn't mean I'm any easier, babe. I'm harder, I'm meaner, and still the same as I was when I wrestled you in CZW, man.
Yeah, I know, brother. I know. You proved it to me last time. But let me tell you something. I'm even meaner now. I'm even more bitter. I haven't getting no sleep. I got a kid now. I'm doing it for her. I'm going to put that food right in her mouth. And if it means taking you out and snapping you in three for a little extra pay, that's exactly what I'm going to do, Drew Blood. You remember that, homeboy. You remember that. Me and Delirious. Delirious is one of the most dangerous men out there. The only man I could say is crazier than me. And we're going to take you on.
You know me better than anybody, baby. I don't do my talking. I do my talking.
My aneurysm.
Yeah, Loudy? Yeah, Aneurysm? You might want to take some Aleve. And in fact, bring a whole bottle to On Point Wrestling for after the match, because you're going to be taking that like a suppository, because I'm going to kick all your asses. Yeah, that's
Pinky
right.
Sanchez, we're going to rule the world of you once and for all on Saturday. Anyone there will see it. I promise it. You're gone on Saturday. No more talk shows. No more summon on the streets for change. Goodbye. Goodbye for you. You're gone. Oodles and noodles for the rest of your life through a straw. You're done when my guys get a hold of you. Tell them, Drew.
I'm not going to tell him anything. He's going to feel what's going to happen to him on Saturday at All Point Wrestling.
You're going to... You're all going to feel it.
Okay, Pinky.
Your quarter's about to run out, Pinky Sanchez, on your cheap phone. Hang up.
I'm going to be having the man from Nowhere's Land, from the eighth layer of hell, Delirious, behind me.
Pinky Sanchez, this is my moment. You're peeing on my parade right now. Get off of this phone call.
I'm going to literally pee on you Saturday, brother.
Get rid of him, Dean.
Okay, he's
guys
he's,
from the land of smoke and mirrors, baby. And I'm bringing you back to reality on Saturday.
Yeah, Neverland Ranch is getting burnt down, Pinky. We're taking you out.
I let go. I hate to see you guys.
Not the real Neverland Ranch, Pinky's. Ugh.
Okay, guys.
Is this just
yeah, if you watch your history of me and Pinky feud, you know we don't play around. There's nothing that me and Pinky like more than beating the crap out of each other, because I can't stand him and he can't stand me. But we sure do respect each other in a sense. But Pinky, come Saturday, it's the last time, and it's going to be the best time, because I'm going to tear you a new ass.
You say you're going to start a riot, huh?
No.
Riot. Who's Ryan?
I was just fucking with you. I'm sorry.
Trying to bring back past parts of the interview.
Yeah.
what we're going to do is to mostly invest each and every fan in the On Point experience, showing him what On Point Wrestling is all about, Mr. Dixon. And
hey,
at the same time,
guys,
living the world
another,
of
for that word. Oh, that was quiet.
Hey, guys, at least it wasn't Fredo on the phone, right? Right, guys?
Oh, hey, you finally showed up. How you been?
Okay.
Brady Hicks. Hi, buddy.
No, that's not Brady. That was Dan again.
Hi, Dan.
Did you take your pants during this interview? Did I make you laugh again?
Anyway, guys, on
hey,
point.
ProWrestling Illustrated in the room.com.
Hey, man, look. We plugged the show. I shot the shit, you know, made some jokes, got even with a little fat shit, and, you know.
Dean Dixon.
And had a little preview. You guys had a little preview of what's going to happen on All Point Saturday between me and Pinky, Deranged, and Xavier. So, you know, not Deranged, Delirious. He is Deranged,
I mean,
too, by the way. But anyway,
just to close out, I will tell you this. I enjoy coming on your magnificent radio show.
Variety of everything.
I enjoy having you guys here, because each time something new and fantastic and highly entertaining happens.
It's like two women talking over each other. Cute.
Oh, stop it, Dan. We had
can't
great
wait to show my handicap plaque, guys.
But again, this is this Saturday, Memorial Day weekend, from the Proving Grounds, 10:30 Delsey Drive. Tickets are $15. Am I correct, Cloudy?
Yes, correct.
Okay,
first
$15. That's
get
right.
There.
Last time it was a sellout. Standing room only. Don't let it happen to you. Don't be standing. Get a chair.
Woo! We will provide chairs.
Okay, and I'll see you guys
we
Saturday.
Show,
we'll
you
be
guys
there.
Do have no idea what you're missing.
I'll be there doing a live pre-show starting at 5. But again, I look forward to seeing all the matches, and I'll talk to you guys on Saturday.
Thank
oh,
you,
Dean. You know
it's been your pleasure.
Thanks.
Goodbye, gentlemen.
Toodles. Life is a mystery. Everyone must stand alone. I hear you call my name, and it feels like home. When you call my name, like a little
right. And again, that is On Point Wrestling returning to the Proving Grounds, 1030 Delcy Drive, Building 4W in beautiful Deptford, New Jersey. Oh, my goodness. That is going to be a heck of a card, guys. And you heard there, Drew Blood and Pinky Sanchez still have that bad blood.
Yeah, you know what? I think they need to be a little bit more excitable. They're too reserved. You really need to bring it up a level.
Just turn it to 11, would you say?
Yeah. Yeah.
Good gracious. I'll tell you. wow.
Why don't you just make 10 louder? But this goes to 11.
Yeah, but those guys, wow. I mean, if I wasn't excited about it already, I am more so now, Dan. Now, Dan, just very quickly, the match that you're most looking forward to hearing about from that stellar card.
Now? The highly entertaining wrestlers.
Certainly, yeah.
Yeah, that's it. Pretty much sold me there.
But Omega, we have business to attend to. Really.
Yes, we do.
We didn't have a chance last week to talk about it, but this week we are going to talk about some UFC. Okay, on Saturday, this past Saturday, of course, it was UFC on FX, and the main event was Vitor Belfort, and it was from Brazil, I should say, was Vitor Belfort taking on Luke Rockhold, and this was Rockhold's debut, and it didn't go quite the way he would want it.
No, I don't think it did. Vitor Belfort, throwing out the spinning head kick.
Yeah, the spinning heel kick got him down, and then he finished him off very quickly.
Yeah, we hadn't seen that kind of a kicking game out of Bell before.
Yeah, usually he's a fist type of guy. Boxing, a stand-up game doesn't really bring the kicks, but he certainly did in this one.
Oh, he looked really good. Of course, he'll only... You know, we talked about this last week a little bit. He's only lost to John Jones and Anderson Silva in his last several fights. He's got a very good record, especially this last stint in the UFC. I mean, he looks really good. He seems to be getting this second wind of a career. Now,
he's still young, though. Let's not forget that. He's, 31 or 32?
I think he's 36.
I thought he was younger. Because he's been around forever. That's why I thought he was younger. Let me just check here. But go ahead.
Sherdog tells me that he's 36. So
oh, wow.
I'm going off of that.
He's older than I thought then.
Yeah, well, and, you know, of course, with this win and his physique and his age, you know, it brings up the whole conversation about his testosterone use and his, you know, is he cheating? That kind of stuff. I can't say for sure, but you know, it's hard to argue that he hasn't looked really good at middleweight recently. And you know, Rockhold, you know, we talked about Rockhold. He was on a 10-fight winning streak.
Yeah,
he's a great athlete. He's got a well-rounded game. He just got caught.
The last Strikeforce middleweight champion. So I think it's a big win for Belfort. A lot of people might say, oh, he's a Strikeforce guy, but let's take a look at all the other Strikeforce guys that have been very successful since coming over. And gals, I should say.
Yeah, I mean, it all depends on who you fight and who's, you know, it just goes to proven MMA, anything can happen. And, you know, just because a lot of people coming out of Strikeforce haven't had success doesn't mean necessarily everybody's going to have success. That being said, you know, this wasn't the type of loss for Rockhold that says he's not UFC caliber fighter. He just, you know, if you take a heel to the face, sometimes you're gonna get knocked down and get knocked out.
Yeah,
these things happen. you know, interesting thing I heard coming out of this fight was that, you know, we usually talk about title shots after these things. You know, Vitor being a middleweight, you would say, well, maybe he'll get another shot at Anderson Silva. He said he wants John Jones again.
Oh, so he would move back up to light heavyweight and go there.
Yeah, and I don't know that it's going to happen, but that's what he said he wanted. I don't necessarily agree or want that to happen. I think Jones has enough competition. I think Anderson needs another.
Well, when you
know.
But when you talk about guys who got caught, you could say Belfort got caught with the front stick in the previous meet. So maybe it was just, you know, a second time through, he might have a better shot with Jones. I know it happened with Silva, and I was going back and forth between the two fights. But he almost beat Jones as well. Let's not forget that with the submission.
Yeah. I mean, he had that submission with Jones. I mean, sure. But, I mean, if he's going to fight a champion, I'd rather have him fight his natural weight class. I'd rather see him take on Silva again if we're going to set up a fight with Belfort for a title. I'd rather see him take Anderson Silva.
Well, when they say natural weight class, I mean, he has gone back in his career between the two. So,
but if you can make 185 and you're not dehydrated and you can put on a performance like you did on Saturday, you need to stay there.
Good point.
You know, fighting above your weight class makes sense if you really get dehydrated getting down to some weight class. Then it makes sense to move up. I don't know. I'd rather see him fight middleweights for now, you know.
Yeah. And the co-main event, Souza picking up, I believe it's his first win in UFC.
His first win in UFC. He looked really good, looked really dominant. You know, Kamolzi was a replacement fight. He wasn't much of a challenge. But that being said, Souza looked every bit the Brazilian jiu-jitsu nightmare that he is.
Oh, he is. I mean, we talked about it. It was last week we talked about it. I mean, he has gold medals from grappling tournaments across the globe. I mean, this guy is a terror if he gets you down. So,
yeah, I mean, he's just good, and he's getting better at the striking. He's really got a great physique. He looks really, really good. I mean, he lost Luke Rockhold, you know, a while back. Okay, fine. But, you know, he keeps moving up and moving up, and I think we got to start talking about him as a realistic contender for, a fight. You know, not necessarily his next fight. I'd like to see him take another step. Kamolzi isn't the guy I want to build, say he gets a title shot off of. But, you know, he's got to be in the conversation for the future, in my mind. I mean, he is that good. We'll see. I mean, it was a very short fight. Kamolzi was pretty much outclassed the whole way, you know.
Yeah.
And it was really an academic kind of.
Rafael Dos Anjos picked up the win over Evan Dunham, and that was a decision.
Yes, that was very close. You know, that was a very close fight. I mean, I saw rounds going both ways. You know, Dana White said Dunham was robbed. I don't think he was robbed. I think it was a very close fight. Could have gone both ways, but there was solid striking for a whole 15 minutes. It was both guys were engaging. Both guys were landing strikes. I think Dos Anjos was striking with more accuracy. Dunham was landing the harder strikes. He wasn't landing them as frequently. But, you know, I could see either way. This could have gone either way in my mind. I don't have a problem that Dos Anjos won. Dunham looked good as well. You know, he looked good, but in the loss, I could have seen giving it to him. I had Dunham winning very narrowly, like very narrowly. Could have gone both ways. So.
Okay. Anything else on this card that you thought was good?
Yeah, I mean there was some good fights. I think Yuri Alicantara looked pretty good coming out of that his fight. He really looked looked strong and looked like a contender. Hopefully he's gonna. He needs a few more fights before he's really in the mix. Obviously, Juicy A for Misha picking up the win versus Chris Curiasso puts him back in the. In the conversation for the flyweight title. I mean, there's not that much depth in that division yet, so you know, who knows? He's probably going to have to wait in line, I think. But, I mean, I think his win certainly puts him back in the conversation, hopefully with a couple more wins. He didn't fight for the title, so we'll see. Other than that, you know, not a whole lot. I mean, this... As far as relevance to the title pictures, this wasn't really that type of card. You know, the Brazil cards tend to be the let's throw the hometown guys out there and let's get some crazy
crowds,
crazy Brazilians chanting Vitor Belfort's name.
Yeah, yeah, that's pretty much what that was. But coming up this weekend, we have title fights, UFC 160, a title fight. And the title picture will get a little clearer, I think, after this one. UFC 160, of course, that's coming from the MGM Grand, and it's going to be on pay-per-view. Now, starting out with the main card, Donald Cerrone, that's one of your favorites, taking on KJ Nunes, another Strikeforce guy.
Yeah, KJ Nunes has kind of a mixed career since he won his title stint in Elite XC. Didn't have a lot of success in Strikeforce. You know, he's a boxer by trade. He's dabbled in professional boxing. His strength is his technical striking. That being said, Cerrone's also a very good boxer, but he mixes in kicks, he mixes in submissions, he mixes in wrestling. He's got more tools than KJ Nunes has. He's going to be I'm not going to say he's probably a smarter, more tactical fight. Going to keep Nunes on the outside with his kicks. Look for the takedown, look for the submission. I think Cerrone's going to take this one fairly easily.
And another lightweight fight. I think the lightweight title picture is going to be a little clearer as well after UFC 160 because you have Gray Maynard coming back, taking on TJ Grant. Now, TJ Grant, not a lot's known about the guy, at least on my end, but... I would say Maynard needs the win more than anything.
And well, Dana White has come out and said that the winner of this fight gets Benson Henderson.
Oh.
So this is an important fight. Maynard, you know, we haven't seen a lot of him recently because he had an injury. But he did pick up the win versus Clay Guida after his losses to Frankie Edgar. That Guida fight was not very not a very convincing win. That was a decision, a split decision for Maynard. I thought Guida won the fight, honestly. But that was your typical Clay Guida wrestling fight with lots of cardio. This one, Maynard is probably the favorite going into this one. He's got that wrestling pedigree. He's gone five rounds with Edgar twice.
Mm-hmm.
He's got a good, well-rounded game. He doesn't have a lot of finishing power, though. When you look at his record, he really hasn't finished anyone in a long time. I think it's all the way back to 2007 since he's had a finish. So he's not going to put this guy out. He's going to control it with takedowns. He's going to control it with his.
I'm just looking at that. It was a KO to Joe Veras. God knows where that guy went, but so it has been since September 19, 2007, last time he finished. It's been a lot of and when you think of Maynard, do you think of a guy that does finish fights and like has, at least I do, like a tough bully type of guy, but apparently not. I guess you just don't realize it, you know.
Yeah, well, he's a bully. Gray Maynard, but that's exactly how he fights. Now, TJ Grant, you said you don't know about him. He had a very rough stint at welterweight, but since he dropped to lightweight, he's 4-0. He's picked up wins versus Dunham and Matt Wyman. So he's really reinvented himself. He's going to have a good guard. He has a good ground game. You know, this one could be a mild upset with Grant you know, taking Mater with a submission if he can pressure him down and manage to get ground control. But you know, it's going to be tough with Maynard being that strong as is, having that kind of controlling, stifling style. You know, I'm going to lean with Maynard on this one, but I think it could be close, and I wouldn't be surprised if Grant pulls off the upset.
Now, the next one is very interesting. You have Glover Teixeira taking on James Tahuna, and both guys have been on a roll as of late. Now, have they said that this is an eliminator or what?
I don't think it's an eliminator per se. I think, you know, Glover Teixeira is definitely in the mix there. I think if he does lose, I think it's an eliminator. I don't think Tahuna's really in the conversation for a title shot. But that being said, if he does beat Teixeira, then that is certainly a quality win. And certainly makes a name for himself. You look at Teixeira and you say, okay, well, he's really got a pounding style. He's got a great ground game. He's took out Rampage, took out Fabio Maldonado. He's definitely got that kind of style that can pick some apart. He's really going to be the better guy in this fight, I really think, with his ground game. Tahuna's going to have to rely on his striking. He's only really lost to Alexander Gustafsson, who's also in the conversation for light heavyweight.
Mm-hmm.
But Tahuna's just going to have a better shot on the feet because of Teixeira's wrestling and his ability and his submission game. We've seen Teixeira just get on a guy and just pound on him pretty definitively. Tahuna's just going to have to keep it on his feet if he can. I don't think he necessarily has much of a striking advantage, if one at all, against Teixeira, because Teixeira's got heavy hands too. But we'll see. I'm going to lean with Teixeira on this one because I think he is the better fighter right now.
Yeah.
As you say, Tahuna is on a roll, so we'll see.
Now, in the co-main event, you have Junior Dos Santos, the former heavyweight champion, taking on Mark Hunt. And I know you're not happy with Mark Hunt being there, but I say give him a striker's chance. However, that said, I will say Junior Dos Santos is probably just going to blow right through him. I'm looking for a one round. He's going to go out there trying to make a point, and not only that, make a point and get another title shot with Velasquez, which is really the money thing, a trilogy with these two.
I agree. I think that the money is with Cain Dos Santos 3. You know, and I would think that Dos Santos would want to come out and blast Hunt into oblivion. Problem is, Hunt is just tough as they come. That guy takes so much punishment in his fights. He is really, really hard to put away. And, you know, to your point, he's got a striker's chance. We've talked about it before. So anybody with that kind of heavy hands is got a shot at any given moment. But a guy like Junior Dos Santos is just on so much of a higher level overall than Hunt. I mean, Hunt's cardio is suspect. We've seen it before.
Yeah.
We saw it in his last fight with Struve. The only reason I really think he won that fight was because he lasted longer and managed to get that shot in. Without that shot, he was pretty much toast. I mean, we talked about it before. Dos Santos is really that good. He got beat by Velasquez pretty decisively, but he did last quite a long time, full fight. I really think Dos Santos wins this fight. It could be by decision, though, because, like I said, Hunt is just takes so much punishment. But I really don't see a way that Hunt wins this without catching Dos Santos with some wild haymaker and getting lucky. Really don't.
Okay, and then the main event, Cain Velasquez taking on your personal favorite, Antonio Bigfoot Silva.
I love him so much. I can't wait for this fight.
Interesting.
No, this is...
Not really. Tell me how you feel.
No, this You know, the thing is, you know, I really like this card. Don't get me wrong, I really like this card, but even though the co-main and the main, I really think are kind of lopsided fights. Silva, we've already seen Cain Velasquez versus Antonio Bigfoot Silva. It lasted all of, what, a round? Not even a round? It was 3:36 of the first round. That was all Cain's fight, all the way.
Oh, yeah. Silva, and it was a gruesome fight, too.
Yeah. He was... Silva, there was no... It was bloody. It was bad. Let's face it. We're talking about Antonio Silva in this fight because Alistair Overeem got too cocky. That's really what happened here. I mean, if Alistair Overeem came in and didn't underestimate Silva, I think we would be talking about Cain Velasquez versus Alistair Overeem right now.
Oh, probably. I would certainly agree with that.
And if Junior Dos Santos didn't have a fight. But, I mean, we're talking. But fine. I mean, you want to give Dos Santos the chance to set up another fight. I think it makes sense from a business standpoint. Silva was available. There wasn't really anybody else available to make the fight. You know, at least another guy coming off a win. It makes sense now, but I don't think the outcome is going to be much different. I mean, I think Silva's going to fight a little smarter. He's going to be a little bit more going to respect Cain's power a little more. Going to respect his wrestling a lot more.
Yeah.
And he may last a little bit longer in this time. But I think it's just a matter of time. I think by the middle of the second round, I think Silva will be on his back again, and I think Cain will be on top of him and dropping some leather. I think it's...
I can't see this going five.
No.
Personally.
I can't see it going five.
Somebody's getting knocked out or TKO'd, something of that nature. Silva, of course, is a black belt in jiu-jitsu, so you never know what might happen there.
Yeah, but Cain's wrestling, I think Cain's wrestling is enough to nullify Silva's submission game. Silva does not have, Silva has a, you know, he's a good Brazilian jiu-jitsu, but he doesn't have that kind of elite level jiu-jitsu that everybody fears.
Yeah.
He's got heavy hands, though. We've seen that before. He can knock a guy out. He can put a guy down and pound him out. That's happened. Not hard. It's really hard to see how he does it with Cain. The Cain is just that kind of an athlete.
Well, and Cain's a light heavyweight. That's a heavyweight weight.
Yeah, he moves with speed. He's got an incredible wrestling game. He's got incredible cardio, and he's got power. Mm-hmm. He's a big dude with a lot of skill, and it's just hard to see. Like I've said it. I've said it every time we talk about Silva. I've said that I really think he's overrated. I don't know why there's so many apologists for Antonio Bigfoot Silva, but I just don't
think it's
that
because
good.
He's marketable. He's a big guy. He looks kind of strange, and he's marketable. And I don't know. In Strikeforce, I like watching him. I think it was the Fedor really that put him on the map. Once he upset Fedor, which was questionable. I mean, what was it? The corner ended it because he couldn't.
Yeah, it was a doctor stoppage. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's kind of questionable. Could he have finished off Fedor? Of course, Fedor's next fight was with Dan Henderson. So, and he lost that one. So you don't know. You don't know what would happen if Fedor did go back out there for another round. If he would have caught him, you don't know. So. I just think he's marketable, and he looks like a monster, quite frankly. It's like the Andre the Giant type of thing in wrestling. You know, you have this guy you can just kind of parade out there in a way. Maybe I'm off. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's something to be said for that. I mean, he's a guy you can bring out. He may or may not knock a guy out. Like you said, he's big. He does have the Fedor win. You can always trot him out and say, this is a guy who beat Fedor Emelianenko. It's just hard to say. I don't know. I just don't – he's not really – other than Fedor, who is he really beaten? I guess Overeem is his other feather in his cap.
Yeah.
And I really just think Overeem got cocky in that fight. I think if that fight were, I think if we did a rematch of that fight, I think Overeem would win that fight. But
probably, knowing what he knows yeah. now. But then again, you can say the same thing. You can say the same thing with Silva and Cain. You know, I mean, perhaps Silva learned his lesson here.
Perhaps, but I don't think this was. But I don't think this was a. I don't think Silva took Cain lightly. I think Cain just beat Silva. But,
could be.
You know, that's kind of where I'm at with that. I don't know. I hate. I really shouldn't rag on Silva as much as I do, but I just. I don't know. I don't know what about him rubs me the wrong way.
Yeah, and very briefly, I do want to bring up UFC 161. There is a new main event.
Oh, you're talking about the new main event.
Yes, it's Rashad Evans taking on the icon in MMA. You can't erect a Mount Rushmore of MMA without Dan Henderson. And, of course, it's Rashad Evans, Dan Henderson. And I think Dan Henderson's going to knock him out.
It's possible.
I always think that. Every fight Dan Henderson's in, I just want a replay of the Bisping fight, quite frankly. That's what I want. Every fight.
Everybody has to get knocked out. I don't care who it is.
I don't care who he's fighting, why it's going down. I want every fight to end that way. That's June 15th, so what do you think of that getting pushed up there?
Well, I mean, it is what it is. With Hen and Brow getting injured and that fight off, you know, who... You're kind of left without a fight there. I mean, you can't replace the interim titleist with somebody and call out the main event.
Mm-hmm.
I get it. Yeah, as far as the fight, I mean, I think it's certainly main event worthy. I mean, you got two guys, you got two former champions, in a fight for probably relevancy in the light heavyweight division, certainly for Rashad Evans.
Well, yeah, I mean, Rashad, he's been on a little bit of a skid since facing Jones, so...
Yeah, I mean, he really hasn't done anything. I mean, he lost to Jones, lost to Little Nog.
Oh, yeah,
pretty handily.
Yeah, his last win was against Phil Davis, actually, so... And that was in 2012, the beginning of 2012, so it's been a while for... Rashad.
Yeah, so I mean, I think Rashad needs a win pretty badly. At least, not that a loss kicks him out of the UFC. He's still a named fighter, but he needs a win to keep his career relevant. I think it's a possibility if he does lose, that he just says, "Look, I'm going to go to be a commentator like Kenny Florian, and you know, call it a day." That's a possibility, but. You know, Wynn doesn't necessarily catapult him into the conversation either. Henderson, though, is in the conversation for a light heavyweight shot. We've talked about this before. He's kind of waiting around here. He had to wait for Chael Sonnen to do his little dance and get horribly destroyed and break John Jones' foot in the process. So now we're waiting for John Jones to heal up and then determine who's the next fight for him. I think you look at Dan Henderson, you say, okay, I get a win. I get a statement win.
Mm-hmm.
My case is pretty strong.
Yeah.
It's a marketable fight. It's a fight I think people certainly on this podcast want to see.
Definitely. Definitely. and it was going to happen back last September until it fell through, you know, it was an injury to Henderson, actually. So hopefully it gets done. So... that's coming up June 15th. So that's going to be UFC 161. We talked about UFC 160. So right now, we're getting ready for Alex Payne. We're going to play a commercial, and then we'll have Alex Payne will be our guest. So stay tuned for that.
This is the Knight Rider, Robert Knight, from New Moon Rising Wrestling. Have you ever dreamed of having your birthday party inside a professional wrestling ring? Well, now is your opportunity. You've seen the rest. Now it's time to experience the best. At New Moon Rising Wrestling's birthday bash birthday parties, we don't just offer unique and affordable party options. We create memories that will last a lifetime. We offer free outstanding party packages. All packages include great photo opportunities with the wrestlers and real championship belts, along with fun in a professional wrestling ring. For more information, go to nmrwrestling.com or call 609-820-2793 for the New Moon Rising Wrestling Birthday Bash.
Tonight, sir, you are with Dan and Dean and Omega.
I'm doing good. I'm just a little bushed. It's been a long week, vigorous weekend between Riot and doing all their stuff in my downtime.
All right. So go ahead, Dan. Start this off.
Well, I'm gonna ask it like this. You know, you always get the question on how you got into wrestling. Were you always into wrestling as a kid, or is it something you got into later on in life?
No, wrestling was always something that's pretty much grown up with me. My earliest memories was watching tapes of Hogan and Warrior from WrestleMania 6 to SummerSlam 91, and then going from there to finally discovering WCW, and then where I was at, it was ECW, and then much after when they died, you know, getting to watch independent wrestling, and wrestling's always like thrived in my life. A lot of it has to do with my father introducing it to me at an early age, and then it's never like stopped. Like to my family, I remember for a little while when they would like punish me as a kid, like, "Well, we're taking wrestling away from you. We're taking away your wrestling figures, or you know, you can't watch wrestling for like a month or whatever it is." It may have lasted for like maybe a little while, but it never lasted long for it to like completely like exhausted from my life. I remember at one point they cut costs when I was a little kid, like when I was 6 years old, and they're like, "Well, we're not going to have cable for a while, so I can't really watch, you know, USA and watch wrestling on the USA Network." But, I just discovered, wrestling's on like Fox, so I'll watch, you know, Superstars then. So it didn't matter to me, and I got away with it, and eventually they got back on the cable again, and I started watching wrestling again more often, and then basically it never stopped. It just gradually grew and grew and grew. My obsession for wrestling, like, kept mounting and wanting to be a wrestler after that, and collecting everything I possibly get my hands on. So yeah, wrestling has been bestowed to me. It's something that I never, it's never like dies necessarily.
Now, what was the first time you got a chance, or, you know, if you did at that point, to see a live wrestling event?
I remember vaguely remember going to see a wrestling event in like 1990, I believe it was. And I have very faint memories of it. I know Warrior was the world champion at the time. He may have been in a program with Rick Rude. Hogan, I believe, wrestled. I believe Earthquake or Dino Bravo was on the show. But I remember the earliest memory of it, though, like the most haunting memory, is there was fans in the front row, and they had Ultimate Warrior posters, like the cloth posters that came with like the championship, the toy championship, and hiding the whole time. So I thought Warrior was really scary. And if you held up a Warrior poster in front of me, I would like head to the hills. I hide in my bed. Oh my god! I remember the whole like most of the show. Like I ducked around. I was in my dad's lap, and I kind of look at all these Warrior posters. And I was a huge Hogan fan, so Hogan, he was more friendly. He was intimidating. The Warrior looked like a maniac.
He is. I got news for you. So what, about what age were you, and what, do you remember the moment where you were like, this is what I want to do, this is what I want to try to achieve?
Well, wrestling, how do I put it, like, watching wrestling, like, I always, like, knew, like, oh, I want to do that, that looks cool, or I want to be like Hogan, I want to be like Bret Hart, or I want to be like Sting or somebody, but I think it, what really cemented it for me, like, oh, I want to really become a wrestler, was once I started seeing that there's wrestling schools, like, they advertised in magazines, and then eventually after magazines, once ECW, like, you got into the point of my life, and they would mention the House of Hardcore in Philadelphia, like, oh, this is, you know, this is an interesting idea, like, there's an actual wrestling school that, you know, this organization owns, and, you know, they'll bring the, you go to the wrestling school, you wrestle on the events, and you'll become this, you know, a big, you know, ECW wrestler. So originally, I thought about, you know, once I got old enough, if ECW was, you know, alive, so I wanted to come out to Philadelphia, and I wanted to train there, especially based on, like, who was the trainers there at the time. And,
yeah.
Like, oh, you know, look at the credentials, look at the head. Dorian, Roadkill, Chetty, all come out of there. And I'm like, well, these guys aren't bad at all. They seem pretty good, so I should try out and try to go to ECW school when I grow up. Well, that, you know, watch for a better term. They died, so therefore I couldn't do that. So it was roughly around, like, my middle school years is when I decided, like, I definitely want to, like, seek this out, and it's not going to stop me. And, you know, when high school turned around, like, my main goal for high school, save up money for wrestling school, get save up money for a car, and save up money for wrestling school, because that was the goal.
So where did you break in, specifically?
Well, it's like a little bit of everything. I've had a little bit of training in a lot of different places and a lot of different people. In the Midwest, I started when I was, like, when I was 17, I started doing seminars. I didn't need any experience with anybody, so I would go to these indie shows out west, and, like, you would have, like, Chris Daniels, you do a seminar, or Swole Joe, we do a seminar or something. So I would got in, and I would do these seminars just to kind of, like, get my feet wet and get an idea of how wrestling works. I helped set up these shows too to make sure that, you know, I was able to, you know, pay my dues to these seminars, and I helped, you know, break down or set up the shows and kind of, like, made up for the cost sometimes. But once I got a few seminars in my belt, I did that for about a year. I moved from Iowa to Pennsylvania, and I trained at Ring of Honor Wrestling Academy.
Oh.
Great. Now, I understand that you started training with Austin Aries. What was that like?
Initially, I trained with Aries, correct. Training with Aries was good. I learned all my basics. I got all my fundamentals down. It was my class was really, like, you know, four guys at first, and then dwindled down to just two guys, with me and Ernie Osiris that graduated together, and we actually had our first match with each other right after that, once we were ready to graduate to pre-shows and dark matches. But his style, learning from him was cool. I initially was coming out to train with Punk, but Punk had got signed just before I moved away, and they started up a class just before I moved out initially. So I ended up starting up an Aries December class in 2005. And then trained with him for close to 5.5-6 months. Like I said, he gave me all the basics, and he got me going, got me on my feet, and then right afterwards, Brian took over, and they were, I know Ring of Honor Wrestling School was looking for a new trainer to either create more interest in the school or to, you know, add more to the school. And Brian was the world champion at the time, and I thought that would be, you know, even more intrigue for people to come in. And when Brian took over the school, he took over it and split the school up into like beginner's class and advanced class. And I was part of his advanced class, and I learned a lot from him as far as, you know, psychology and how to make yourself more unique and not just do, you know, basic wrestling matches and try to discover who you are as a wrestler and watch as much, you know, he would give us a homework assignment. Like, he would have us, for instance, go home tonight, you know, watch some wrestling, come back with what you want to try, what you want to do, and, you know, have that listed in or have a reference to it so we know what to, you know, or if you have the tape, bring it back, we'll watch it, and we'll see how it works. And, you know, I thought learning from him was extremely beneficial for my career because it really got me to, like, really analyze wrestling even more than what I had done already, started, or had already started. And, yeah, I felt like he was more of a teacher instead of, like, just a trainer. Like, he wanted to teach you, but he wanted to make sure you learn how to do this right. And a lot of that is, like, I think he cared about his credibility being on the line, and
right.
He wanted to make sure he passed along enough, you know, knowledge to who he was teaching versus some random wrestling school will have some guy who's basically done squat take your money and be like, well, I'm going to teach you, you know, 2 hours of stuff today, and then tomorrow I'll learn 2 hours of stuff, and then the next year I'll learn 2 hours of stuff. Thanks for your money. You learned everything you possibly can in 3 days, and go be a pro wrestler. When it really isn't how you do it.
Yeah. So you're the Brian you're speaking of, Alex, is Brian Danielson, aka
Brian Danielson.
Daniel
correct.
Bryan, right? Yeah.
Yes, correct.
Just for our listeners who weren't aware. Go ahead, Dan.
Oh, I thought he was going to elaborate. I'm sorry. you said something I think that was very interesting. You said you moved from, was it Iowa to Pennsylvania?
Correct.
Was that a family move, or was that a I'm going to wrestling move?
Oh, that was me. That was you. By myself.
See, I find that fascinating because there's so many times in life that you want to just, all right, I have to do this. I'm going to do this. I'm going to leave, and some people don't do it. So I find it very fascinating when some people just go. So you moved strictly to Pennsylvania to start wrestling, to do more training.
Absolutely. That was the thing. Like I said, initially, like, my goal was to come out east to train initially. Like, I had looked up a million different schools beforehand. I really got interested in Ring of Honor when they started, started up, and then they went through, you know, Punk was, like, the trainer initially, and he was from the Midwest, so I was like, oh, I want one from him. And then when it switched over to Aries, like, he's the champ. He was always world champ at the time beforehand. And well, TV, you go to learn from also. He's a Midwest guy, too, so I probably able to relate to him. And it just kind of, like, I felt also going out east is where you had to go. Like, there wasn't a whole lot of wrestling schools in the Midwest that, you know, stood out. And I was like, if you're going to go big, you might as well go all out and go to the East Coast, because that's where the thing is, where all the indie action is. Because, you know, if you go out west, there was a select few to really go to, at the time, PWG wasn't like a big independent yet. There was a school of any kind. In the Midwest, you know, there was AAW. There's a few, like, little things in Iowa, but nothing like really stood out. And I go, if I'm gonna go anywhere, I'm gonna go to the East, and I wanna go to Ring of Honor, because that's the type of style I wanna wrestle. The type of wrestler that's gonna train me is basically, I think, mentally what I would wanna be like. So I wanted, that's where I wanted to go. I mean, you read all the indie wrestling news, and you know where all the action's at, so why be in the middle of nowhere when you can hopefully be on the East Coast and be amongst a giant hub of wrestling? Honestly, I'd go through New York, Pennsylvania, Jersey, and further on, like, there's lots of action going on.
So you've trained under some of the best in the world. Tell us about your first match in front of an audience. What was it like? Who was it against? And how'd you feel about it?
First match was Long Island, New York. I teamed with Bobby Dempsey against Ernie Osiris and Red Titus.
Oh, wow.
I remember the night before being in Long Island, so I hung out with Ernie, actually. And we're just talking about, you know, this is our first match. What should we do? You know, originally we thought that we were wrestling each other because that was like the original plan that we were told. And then there's a tag match later in the day. But like, you know what? It's a big deal. It's the first one. Like, you know, for myself, really, I know Ernie, he had a lot of family in the crowd, and they're there to see his first match. Whereas for me, I was excited and I was upset at the same time because I was excited because I couldn't wait to get out there and, you know, finally step through the ropes in front of an X amount of people and be able to do what I dreamed to do. I mean, you know, I was nervous, you know, we put together the match backstage and we're going everything came pretty solid. We, you know, Aries gave his input and remember Danielson giving his input on what, you know, what could be done. And then once we went out there and we put together this match, it seemed to me like flawless. It was like, I remember walking through the ropes and like standing there and circling up with Ernie and just going like, this is it. I'm in a Ring of Honor ring. I'm in front of all these people. I can't believe this is happening. And I took a deep breath and just went through it. And, I just remember like the butterflies or just, they going through the curtain, and then when I stepped back and I came back to the locker room, there was one of my best friends, Shane Hagedorn, there was Tony Primo, there was Gabe, who doesn't really, or is hard to judge or hard to get a read on. He told me it was a good match, and he was applauding us for having a good match, and you know, to me, it was. I don't know how to put it. Like, Aaron, the culmination had happened. Now, like, I'm excited for more. And once I got away from everybody, everyone, you know, said good job, you did well. I went outside by myself and went back behind the building, and I kind of cried because I dreamt of doing that for so many years. You know, I had my first professional wrestling match. I couldn't be more happy than in that moment. Like, there's no one to take it away from me. I had my first match in front of an audience, in front of an independent that my teenage years grew up on. So now I'm part of that. And even more so than that, I was able to, you know, accomplish a dream that most people don't accomplish. I know friends back home growing up, they're like, I want to be a pro wrestler, and they never did it. And to me, like, I did it, you know. And that meant so much to me. And it's just all I want to do is like, take that memory and continue to, like, build upon it and become the best wrestler I can possibly be and, you know, make people proud. And all I can think is, like, I really wish my mom was here to see it, my sister was here to see it. Because that would have helped, it all come to full circle for me.
Well, I think you might have already answered this, but I was going to ask when you said it. Your first match was a tag team match. Do you regret it not being a singles match, or would you not change a thing on that first one?
Honestly, I don't regret it at all. I mean, at first, like, oh, it'd be cool to have singles, but in a lot of ways, it's good to have a tag because there's less error to take place, and unfortunately, Simon, Bobby, and Rhett had a little more experience too, and they had more. They helped a little bit putting as far as putting the structure together. Because they've been wrestling more matches, especially Rhett. Rhett's probably at that point in time has quadrupled the number of matches I had at that point in time. So, or not more than that, he wrestled all the time. So. He had more experience as far as putting together a match is worth concerned, and same with Bob. So I have no problem with going back and watching. Like, yeah, that was our first match because it was fun. It was good.
Now, I'm looking at your career here, and you had a very long Ring of Honor run. How did that come to a close, and do you look back? Do you want to get back there? What's the plans as far as Ring of Honor goes?
It kind of closed with a lot of, like, things in the air. When Pierce was the booker, we had, I was getting to the point where as a babyface, I didn't feel people gave a damn anymore. Or especially when we were doing the Philadelphia tapings, it was hard. Like, they didn't want a white meat babyface that, you know, Pierce necessarily wanted to have Alex King be. And, you know, and I expressed my frustration because we would go out to, say, the Midwest and I'd wrestle in Chicago and I'd get reactions or something, or have a solid match or something, and or I'd have a solid match in Virginia. And, you know, I thought I was getting better and getting better, and then I'd try to have wrestling matches at these HNS tapings for Ring of Honor. And so I'm given 8 minutes, you know, trying to, you know, prove that, you know, I want to be there, and then go up and down the car, and they're like, well, you're going to wrestle 8 minutes tonight, and then, you know, the next night you're going to do, you know, 2 minutes. It's like, well, what is this? Like, I know the fans don't sort of like me in Philadelphia, since most of our tapes are on the East Coast. Why not, you know, I asked them, could we turn the heel? Like, let me work with it. And there was a night, actually, that I kind of rolled with it on my own. I wrestled Mark Briscoe, and like his return to Ring of Honor, so being on the shelf for a few months. And he gave us like 6 or 7 minutes, you know, that included the entrance and everything. I was like, all right, well, Mark's like, I have approached an idea to Mark. I was like, hey, you know, you just come back off his injury, and there's no way I'm going to get ripped mad sympathy at all. So would you mind if, you know, maybe during my comeback, you know, I clip out your knee? And he's like, oh, that's a great idea. Wonderful. You know, and I pitched the match to him when I thought it could work. And when we got out there, as expected, you know, they're going to definitely react to Mark more than I am. And they're going to want to see Mark kick my ass. So cool. I want to give him that. Mark gave he didn't like squash me. He gave me a wrestle. He made it look like, hey, I was coming back to wrestle, and I wanted to do that. So when it came, after, you know, he put me on for a bit, turnaround time came about, and I remember him sitting for a back suplex on my feet, and I just flipped out the knee, and the crowd, like, they booed it. Like, that's what I wanted, and I wanted some heat for this. Because what's the point, you know? Like, why wouldn't, even if you are a good guy, why don't you want to win? You know, that's the goal. So I, you know, cooked the knee and went through a series of things. Eventually, you know, he finished me off and beat me in his return. And when we got to the back, I asked Adam what you think, and he was kind of like, you know, like, whatever. Like, I have nothing to say about it. All right. And then, but I got to the back, and John Davis and Corey, what's his last name? Dark City Fight Club, I apologize. Corey Chavez and John Davis, they're like, did you do that on the fly? Like, no, I actually kind of called that. And they're like, you knew they were going to react like that? I'm like, yeah, I was like, that was smart thinking. And Tatiana said the same thing. And like, well, you can actually go work. And I was like, well, I kind of assumed that they weren't going to like me, so I might as well give them something to hate. You know, they always boo me anyway, so why don't I just give them something to work with? So, I don't know, I felt like maybe, you know, I maybe outsmarted the booking a little bit, or, you know, or something. I'm not arrogant, but trying to roll with it. You know, all the people talk about, especially the guys that came to old school, working with the crowd, work with the direction they give you. Well, I tried to, and going back to my love being cut short. I was frustrated with being baby face and doing, be happy-go-lucky and having no be complacent with everything. And I was asking for, hey, why don't we turn me? Can I turn? Can I do this? Can I do that? And here's some ideas. And I was like, well, if you can grow up here, we'll try. So I tried growing some gnarly looking things. Looks awful. And then he's like, why don't you shave your head? And I was like, I don't want to shave my head. Like, do I have to shave my head to be a heel? Like, that's me, it's like ridiculous. Well, why don't you dye your hair? And I'm like, maybe I might do that. So, I couldn't part ways with my long hair. And they wrote me off in an angle with Kevin Steen and Steve Corino beating me up and kind of leaving me for dead and bloodying me. And originally, Pierce was like, well, we'll bring you back, and I said, I want you to be with them. Like, you'll be like, they'll mentor you and that sort of thing. I'm like, oh, that sounds great. That's a wonderful idea. It's something that I've always wanted to work with Steve, and I like Steam, and this would be tremendous. I've learned from two guys that are really, really good. And eventually, I sent an email, and I got no reaction from Adam. And I went to shows, like, hey, Adam, I've been written off TV at this point, so, 6 weeks, 8 weeks, how long am I supposed to be invisible for? I was like, well, you gotta be invisible for longer. And when I heard that, I kind of assumed that maybe there wasn't any, real comeback coming. And I was like, well, I'm just gonna do my thing, do as many indies as I can, and eventually I'm going to Japan to do some training and work some shows, so we'll see what happens from there. And I thought I was being lied to, and it really was just like I was being held off. I'm like, look, this is money out of my pocket. You're taking away from me. I could be wrestling right now, and I could be doing what I love to do in front of the audience I plan to come and wrestle for. But he ended up being fired from Ring of Honor or stepping down, and then. Delirious, took the look, and it was actually offered to me to come back after Japan, which we'll probably talk about shortly, and we'll go from there.
Dan.
I was just, before we continue, I just want to know, Sugarfoot, what's that mean?
Well, if you are a fan of my story wrestling career, it's been a name that kind of dawned on me or given to me from Samoa Joe when I was breaking in.
Mm.
So, yeah, and it got announced to me one night in Chicago, then faded away for like 3 months, and then came back to bite me in the ass in Chicago again. And it didn't really go away much. And I tried Congo. Once I left Ring of Honor, I tried snuffing it and getting rid of it. As far as having a nickname, but I didn't really want it, to be honest. And I didn't really think it could go anywhere. And for a while, I tried to embrace it and try to do something with it, but mentally, I couldn't get over it. And it was like, what is this? What's this supposed to be? I don't throw devastating kicks. I don't dance around, so that's not me internally, and that's not what I can really exhibit. So I can't do it. So why would I bother? And it became more of a joke, and I felt like it was kind of pitch and held me because no one took Alex Payne seriously as a babyface or a wrestler in general. So when I started wrestling more outside of Ring of Honor, it popped up again, wrestling like a four-way with Red Titus. He decided to bring it up in the middle of it, and so it's kind of like came back in, and once in a while it's a haunting memory of my past, but, you know, you chant at me, chant at me all you want, because it just reminds me how much I hated it and how much I like being myself now. So,
yeah,
it is, you can call me what you call me all the names in the book, Jobber from back then, or you can call me Sugarfoot all you want, but the truth to me now is, like, that doesn't bother me, and it just makes me laugh, because that's what you see me as, and you really haven't paid attention to me in the last few years.
No, there you go. Now, you brought it up a little bit. Japan, you wrestled for Noah. How'd you get there? You said it had something to do with training, and then you were booked on some shows. So what's that all about?
Going back to me being frustrated with my position at Ring of Honor, I felt like I was hitting a wall. Like, I didn't know what I could do to get myself to another level and be seen differently by a peer, so other promoters. And I just I just felt like I've hit a wall, and what else am I able to do? So I was at the front office one day, and I was kind of complaining, but kind of like venting more so than anything with Sid Eich, who was the vice president of Ring of Honor at the time. And Sid and I are good friends, and he goes, you know, you work hard. Why doesn't Adam do anything with you? Like, I don't know. I don't get it. Like, she's like, you're on pay-per-view, and you're on, you have some good matches with Nigel here and there on TV, and Mark Briscoe, Bonjay. And I was like, well, thanks, but I don't know why, and I don't know what I did to piss him off, or what I'm not doing to cement a spot. And I was like, he's like, all these guys are going to Japan in a couple weeks. They're like, man, I wish I could go. I was like, you want to go? I was like, there's no way in hell that Noah's going to take me to Japan. Like, well, you might have to stay there for a couple months and learn, but, you know, I bet I can make it happen. I was like, I don't think they would even be interested. So we're in Toronto, Ontario, and the Noah guys are over. It was Ken Hariyama and Runakata, which are liaisons between the offices over in Japan, and Nakajima was over here wrestling for us that weekend, and they came up to me in the locker room, and Ken Hariyama goes, so I hear you're interested in wrestling in Japan. And I was like, I was taken back by that. And I was like, well yeah, I'd love to. I'd love to learn. I just want to get better, and, you know, better my chances here, and, you know, learn something, a new style, or really comprehend what Japanese wrestling is like over there. And they're like, you're in school now, right? And I'm like, yeah, I'm going to school right now. I'm trying to get my education to wrestling. And they're like, when do you have time off? I'm like, well, summer, well, what would be the best idea for me? So they're like, we'll talk. And over the course of the spring, we hammer things out for me to go spend about a couple months in Japan between my semesters off from school. And it was an eye-opening experience as far as wrestling is concerned. That's all I will definitely let you know. It made me really decide, like, whether or not I could do this full-time, or whether or not I was ready for that sort of commitment to wrestling. And, I mean, it was a great experience. A lot of the stuff I learned over there is invaluable, and I could never put a price on it, because, you know, it was me. It was watching guys that you've enjoyed watching, or you've seen wrestle, the guys that you trained you, and have these amazing matches, and learning from that. Like, for Kenta, for instance, Kenta, I wrestled with him. I was there. I wrestled with Nakajima while I was there. I teamed with Mara Fuji. I got to wrestle Takayama. I wrestled with lots of guys that were big names over in Japan. Some of them would come over to the States and wrestle big shows for ROH, for instance, and had sellout matches, and had classic matches with some, like, guys like Danielson or Roderick, or Aries for that matter, and it just it blew my mind. I'm over here, I'm learning from these guys, and it's not easy training. It makes you appreciate the style of training that gets taught here, because you know they're hard, and it's not like, I'm not saying like Ring of Honor is not easy, and I'm not gonna bullshit anybody and lie and say, oh, Ring of Honor's training is easy at all. Ring of Honor's training is tough. It's very dojo-esque, especially when you know Brian was around. Like he definitely exuded that when we're training with him. And but no, the travel, you got used to, you know, being on the road, you know, maybe 10 days at a time, and then you have maybe a little bit of a break, and then you're back to traveling again, and then you're training in the dojo, and it's hot as hell, and just trying to push your body as you can. I think I also, not being used to the food over there and whatnot, my immune system was quite poor while I was over there too, so I lost a lot of weight, which sucked. So being a ref, being a junior, and you're losing more weight isn't the most ideal thing.
One thing I did want to ask you was, you were talking about in Ring of Honor how you were this baby face character. You really didn't like it. And then you had a persona change. You became the American Psycho, Alex Payne. How did that all come about, and why the American Psycho?
Good question. The American Psycho, it came up after, like, once I left, I was trying to come up with, like, an entity on my own. Like, how can I stand out of myself? And I didn't want to keep playing with Alex Payne, but then I was like, well, maybe Alex Payne should just stand on his own 2 feet and see if he doesn't need a moniker or doesn't need a gimmick. And I was wrestling for Force One for a while, and, like, I was really carving my teeth there. And I was wrestling for other independents, but the most consistent place was Force One in Egg Harbor. And at the time, Sammy Callahan was booking it, and unfortunately, Sammy gave the window to test out what heel Alex Payne would be like. And I started off like building like a stable of guys, Kevin Cunningham, then Shane Hagedorn followed, and then Telly Primo followed after that, and then Kevin kind of like disappeared, so it was just me, it was essentially me and Hagedorn and Pelly. It's kind of funny, like, kind of like joked, it's like, it's three Ring of Honor guys, or X Ring of Honor guys, well, Hagedorn was still there managing, but three guys that we wanted to wrestle the Ring of Honor style for a long time. Now we're kind of breaking out, doing our own thing, and we're, the gimmick at the time was Blackgate Asylum, and we were a little like pissed off and bitter, and we were taking out everybody else, and not like legitimately, but sometimes like there was some horrible, you know, ill feelings about like how we got treated as students while we were training there, and we wanted to like just prove that we could be on the same page. So when I got to do more single stuff as this new, as like this bad guy persona, I wanted a nickname, and I was thinking of like something that would, you know, catch someone's attention. And I was around guys like, you know, Sammy Callahan was the new horror, the Callahan Death Machine, and then yeah, there's Chainsaw Joe Gacy, and like I like all these kind of horror sorts of things. I love horror movies completely, so I was looking through my horror DVD collection I have, and I was like, American Psycho, and I was like, oh, and I'm like, that sounds cool, and I started putting together, like, I've never seen somebody use it or heard somebody use American Psycho as a moniker or gimmick, so like, I like how it flows, American Psycho, Alex Payne, perfect, you know, it's two APs together, so whatever, it kind of flows right, and just like I just wanted to, I gave it a shot and just started rolling with it. I was like, when announced me as American Psycho Alex Payne, and it just kind of flowed from there. I just want to keep it. And I feel more of myself, and not like I'm legitimately crazy in real life, but I feel like I can be the extension of my aggressive personality when it comes down to training or wrestling or anything else, and it's fun, and it allows me to be more creative, and I've actually watched, you know, I go back and I watch how I didn't have as much personality behind it yet, and then I start kicking it up, adding more and more and more, and finding new ways to, you know, to either change my look or new ways to wrestle differently and add something, you know, new to the puzzle every so many months, because I feel like I want to keep it fresh. I'm enjoying the gimmick. I don't want to go back. I don't want to go back a step and feel like, oh, I gotta rehash something. Plus, I got the chance to add a valet to the gimmick. So I worked with Kimberly. And then me and Kelly ended up becoming the Force One Tag Champions for a little while. Then we started feuding each other itself, so it kind of added more fuel to, you know, this psycho character. Have variables around him, whether it was a partner or a girl or an enemy that was someone that you know pretty much your entire career. And it's honestly the most fun I've had wrestling, to be honest, to be frank. I mean, I've wrestled in front of, you know, gigantic crowds as far as, you know, wrestling is concerned. On the indie scene, I've wrestled anywhere up to about 2,000-3,000 people in Japan or more. I've wrestled in front of, you know, really tiny crowds. And honestly, what I've been doing on this scale as a American Psycho, whether it's not wrestling for Ring of Honor right now, I've had the most fun, and I know you asked earlier where I want to go, lift up the gold, go back there. I mean, I'd love to. I'd love to go back and accomplish a few things that I sought out to do when I moved out here, and it's one thing completely unfulfilled to me. And I mean, I thought I'd get that fulfillment by trying to go for CCW or, you know, doing other things, but the truth is it's like, you know, you break up from a girlfriend, you go back and you watch them, you want to be with them sometimes. That's kind of like Ring of Honor to me. Like, I want to go back, and I want to accomplish something, I want to reignite that flame, I want to reignite it under this persona and under this personality, because I feel like this has more to give than what I had before.
Your time in Japan, is there anything that you learned over there that you learned differently, you took back to the States, or is it pretty much the same kind of learning curve there?
The learning curve was a lot harder, actually, because I was the only one getting bumped around. There was no dojo boys, there was none of that stuff. So I was pretty much getting my ass kicked left and right. So recovery sucked. When it comes down to watching other people, you're used to like it being in a class of wrestlers and having, you know, a buttload of people, you know, doing bumps before you and learning how to do, you know, watching the demonstrations ahead of you, then you can kind of milk it or, you know, absorb it over and then go out and try it.
Right.
Fortunately, that wasn't the case for myself. So it's like, we show you once, you gotta do it. Show once, you gotta do it. So bumping. Hmm. Was they showed me different ways of taking, you know, back bumps, for instance, or how to do arm drags differently, or how to do snapmares differently, or how they hit the ropes differently, or there was a lot of readjustment that like really like threw me off, and I thought like, well, Jesus Christ, I was picking up, I just couldn't get it, and it irked me a lot. But, like, I've been doing this for 5 years or close to 5 years at that point. Like, what am I not getting? Like, what am I doing wrong? And it bothered me a lot. And a lot of the time, you know, losing my head while I was over there was, I learned some Japanese, but I didn't learn a lot, you know. And I tried to learn as much as I could before I left, but I had my mind on so many different things before I left for Japan. The languages, you know, was not necessarily a major priority, but it was definitely like, ooh, I put on the back burner here and there. I learn a little bit there, I write something down, and try to figure it out. But the learning curve was tough. It was definitely tough. But I learned how they put together matches, and in a lot of ways it's a lot easier. And I know a lot of people think it's more dangerous or stiffer, but there's a method to the madness, I'll be honest, and they have a good way to go about it. They don't go full tilt every single match like everyone thinks they do. They do what they do it well, and they've definitely changed a lot of things up since Misawa, especially when he died after being dropped on his neck, and it's been a little safer as far as taking precautions and procedures on taking care of the wrestlers are concerned.
Wow.
I'll give that to Noah. Absolutely, I give a nod to that.
All right, Alex. Now, where are you now? What are you doing? What you really don't have a home promotion. We spoke about this privately on Friday. Where? I mean, what are you doing now? Just accepting bookings as they come, or I mean, are you trying to get out there more? I mean, what exactly is going on in the career of Alex Payne right now?
It's a little bit both. I accept bookings when they come to me. I seek them out so that I continue to stay as fresh as possible or stay as hungry as possible, because there's part of me that wants to get back into work, so I don't want to basically lose anything or lose a step. And there's part of me that would love to, you know, go to WWE one day and, you know, test the waters. I mean, I've seen plenty of people that I have grown up with, you know, succeed. For instance, look at Seth Rollins. You know, last night he won the WWE Tag Team titles. I grew up literally 2.5 hours away from him, met him at independent shows like IWA Mid-South growing up, on Ring of Honor shows growing up, and when we were teenagers, like he was 17, 18 years old. I was, you know, 16, 17 years old, and I met him. And now he's gone on to accomplish so many things. And I don't know, I'm a little envious of him because he's a naturally talented individual. And I wish I could be him. I wish I could be in that same level, that same capacity of accomplishing everything. And his teenage dream of winning the ROH World Championship to going on to wrestle for the WWE. And now being the WWE World Tag Team Champion, that's a major accomplishment. And that's what I would like to be. I would like to one day say I got to the pinnacle of my dreams, and I want to continue to work my ass off on the independent scene, because I enjoy the independent scene. I enjoy wrestling there. I wrestle for Excite Wrestling from Binghamton, you know, Sideshow, Pro when they're running shows, Riot, as you know already. There's Coastal people I work for Phil Elise. And then the smatterings, I was wrestling in Delaware, Maryland for a while. I'll go out, you know, to more closer to central and western Pennsylvania and wrestle out that direction. Wrestle in New York for Fighting Spirit Wrestling. I'm not being bookings at all. I'm looking to accept bookings, especially if it's going to benefit me. I want to learn, and I want to learn from better people than I am, and I want to teach people. I just crossed over my 7th year of officially wrestling. We're coming 8th year now, and I feel like I have a lot to offer as far as teaching people things and as far as wanting to learn and get better and reach the next level for Alex Payne and the next level for myself. Because I don't want to say I did this because I had mediocre success. I want to do this and say I had success and enjoyed what I was doing.
All right. So where can people find you? If bookers want to contact you because they listen to the show, or fans, where can people find you on social media?
Well, there's Facebook. You can find me. Look up Alex Payne. Then you can look I have my Twitter account, PsychoPayne87, Instagram, if you want to get me on there. I'm not 110% on social media savvy, but I think I got a few of the basic ones down. If you want to just email me, you can email alex_payne_87@hotmail for booking inquiries. You can find me on YouTube. There's plenty of matches, so if you're questioning my work, by all means, go get a look and see what you have to, see what I have to offer for you. But now, if things come up, I'm always promoting, you know, on my Facebook especially, just because it's a huge network, and Twitter and both, you know, I can promote there, and hopefully people will follow and will get a hold of me that way. So if bookers, promoters, anybody's looking for a psychopath to fill a role, I'm here for you.
All right, Alex, you have a good night, and we'll be talking soon.
Thank you, Dave.
Big thanks to him for joining us here tonight on Hell in a Cell Talk Radio, and what a night it has been. Dan, how are you feeling?
I feel like I've heard Joe Gacy's name a lot.
Well, you know, I mean, Joe is getting out there. He is, of course, the new Moon Rising.
By proxy.
Well, proxy or not, Dan, he is
stole
the
it.
Champion.
You stole it.
He is the champion.
The something.
He's the fake champion.
Well, perhaps you can hash this all out with him next week, as Joe Gacy will be here.
I think I might let you two do the show by yourselves.
No, what? I mean, that would be an honor to actually do the show. Maybe he could be my guest co-host. Joe and I could do the show. Perhaps he knows a little about MMA.
Two people listening.
Oh, my goodness. You don't know Joe Gacy.
You would listen. Your significant other would listen, and his significant other would listen.
But irregardless, Joe Gacy will be our guest next week. And I do want to thank everyone who came on tonight, including Joe Gacy. And you can find him at Joe Gacy on Twitter. Of course, you can find Loudy at Loudywood on Twitter. And Drew Blood is Drew Blood on Twitter. Of course, Alex Payne is at Psycho Payne, and that's Payne spelled with a Y. So it's P-A-Y-N-E. So if you want to find him and follow his career, well-spoken guy, right?
Yeah.
Very much so. Has a lot to say, and a little tired at the beginning, but really picked it up, got into it, and he's got a long story. I mean, just the move from, and I said in the interview, the fact that you move to follow your dream is something I sort of did wish I could do, you know, not to get too personal. You know, you sacrifice what you have, you leave what you know to something you don't, to make your dream happen. That alone is amazing.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Going from the Midwest and then moving to Pennsylvania just to follow that dream. And I think it was in Bristol at the time where the academy was. I'm not 100% sure of where the refiner was at the time. But
unbelievable.
Yeah, yeah. And he's traveled the world internationally. He's been in NOAA, so... thank you to him for coming on, and it was great. Now, of course, On Point Wrestling returns this Saturday. It's going to be a great show. Bell time is 7. We will be there. Dan will be there in spirit, and, of course, we'll be calling in as we run down the card. I believe referee B. Dillon will be joining us again as we run down the card. Of course, probably the biggest contributor right now to the blog, which is HIACTalkRadio.com.
He's so, not going to let that go, is he?
Well, he is the biggest contributor, I'm just saying.
Yeah, your point is factual. I'll allow it.
You know.
You are the moral compass of the show, Omega Squad.
That's great. I mean, you know, his logo's terrible, but...
Well, can you do about that? But, of course, check out the blog.
Don't let
there.
It on the site.
I probably will be live blogging the results as well. So check out there for HIACTalkRadio.com for the results of the show.
And I swear I'll finish that blog eventually.
Yeah, it's still there. It's still
next
there.
Next year.
Yeah, still there. WCW10, of course.
Oh!
It wasn't Sin?
It was Sin, but...
Well, we talked about it already on air.
Did I mention it was Sin? Son of a bitch.
Yeah, we did. We have that to look forward to, of course. The main event for On Point Wrestling will be a clash of hardcore eras. And if you were in attendance at the New Moon Rising Wrestling Show, you know that Matt Tremont is a guy that certainly does bring hardcore a new meaning and to a new generation.
I don't think he's been to the hospital after one match.
This whole journey with Tremont really started the night before Tangled Web. And he was at a particular place training that night. He was there, and I went up to him, and not going too much in the reality or anything, but he's just really a good guy. And I asked him to come on the show to talk about Tangled Web. And Tangled Web was, of course, in August of that year. He came on in September. Tangled Web, I watched this guy get chokeslammed through barbed wire, hitting the table. I thought he broke his neck. I really thought the guy was hurt badly. He gets up. He had a huge gash on his arm. You can see the scar to this day. Huge gash on his arm, goes back, gets taped up like Sabu, is the best way I can describe it, and comes right back out. And I was like, holy. I mean, anybody else taking that type of bump
would
be done.
Dead,
yeah. Dead, or at least the match would be over. But like Mick Foley before him, he comes back out and continued the match. That was the only match he lost to DJ Hyde, of course, last year's Tangled Web. He did win the next two matches, which was, of course, Redemption in September, and then he won Cage of Death. But this weekend, he takes on Low Life Louis Ramos, and Low Life Louis Ramos is a hardcore icon, particularly for Jersey All-Pro Wrestling, the now-defunct company. So it's a clash of hardcore styles. If you haven't seen Matt Tremont's promo for this match, do yourself a favor. Find it. I'll put it on my Twitter. I'll put it on the Facebook for Hell in a Cell. And just judge for yourself, because that's one of the best promos I've seen. Dan, have you seen that promo?
I have not seen the promo.
Well,
I keep meaning to watch it because I know where the link is. I just have not.
I'm telling you, this is one of the best promos I have seen in ages. And this is, I'm not naming names, but it's really up there as far as
when did Jersey All Pro defunct?
Who knows? It was the last I knew, Frank, the promoter, tried to start up Jersey Shore Championship Wrestling, and they ran a show and then sold a lot of tickets for the next show and closed up shop there.
Yeah, they stopped. They just stopped.
Yes. Yes. But still have those tickets. It's kind of like a badge of honor that I have those tickets.
I didn't even know.
Bandito is, of course, their reigning champion. Of course, hashtag support.
Support Bandito.
Yes. But a lot of good information.
That was a great company. Oh, had a lot of wrestlers through that company.
Oh, sure. Jay Lethal was huge there. Bandito, of course, Azrael.
I remember ODB was in there at one point. Karma was there. Vader was there.
Yeah, yeah. Speaking of Vader.
Homicide was there.
Speaking of Vader, someone refereed one of his matches.
Yeah. I wonder if he's going to, I wonder if I'm not going to see him again next month.
No, he'll be back.
Because they have all those legends coming.
I hope he comes back, because Spanky 1.5. I'm not sure if I can put up with that.
Ah!
I was hoping he'd get in the ring.
Oh, my God.
I was hoping he tried to stop Pappas.
I, you know, I'm not that first guy.
I didn't mind him too much.
Oh, just give me a half striped shirt and I'll do it.
Well, there you go. You should have done a Mick Foley. Just, you know,
I should have hit him and just be like, yeah, mine.
But here regardless.
That's your favorite show to the word tonight, isn't it?
Well, regardless is the actual word. Irregardless is not. But my goodness. On Point Wrestling returns. I do want to get that out there. Tickets are $15. And, of course, the main event, as I said, Tremont and low-life Louis Ramos. And we're going to have highly entertaining wrestlers with the Financial Miracle Loudy taking on Pinky Sanchez, who did call in tonight, and his partner Delirious from Ring of Honor.
I think Pinky might kill him.
Pinky sounded really charged up. Omega, I mean, what do you think about Pinky Sanchez? First time interacting with Pinky Sanchez.
Yes, he was excited. I was slightly disturbed.
I think that was the meaning of it all, too. So, of course, they return coming up this Saturday. And bell time, like I said, is a huge amount of... the Saito Pro also returns at On Point Wrestling. Joe Gacy, Nathan Avery, taking on KC Penham, the man of 1,000 pins, and the Walking Dead, you could say, Anthony Graves, who will be back pretty soon. We're going to have a Force One Pro reunion coming up in June. So that should be exciting. We're going to have MLJ, who was a commentator from Force One Pro, and Anthony Graves will be making his return to the cell to talk about Force One Pro, which was a pretty big promotion for a few years, running out of Egg Harbor and Hamilton, New Jersey. So that should be fun to relive those days. Now, you can go ahead, Omega. Where can the fine people find you?
The fine people can, as always, find me at Omega Squad on Twitter.
How about you, Dan?
Dan Law 83.
I am, of course, the Dean of Credibility, Double D. You can find me at Folsom County. You can follow the Twitter at HIAC Talk Radio. You can also like the Facebook at facebook.com/HIAC Talk Radio. Read the blog, HIACTalkRadio.com. And also, we are on iTunes and Stitcher Radio. Dan, are you all right there?
I just died.
Okay. Okay, but...
sorry, folks.
We will be live at On Point Wrestling for a pre-show. Referee Jimmy Dillon and I will be running down the card. It should be an amazing show. So if you're anywhere around the Deptford area, make sure you get out
1030 there. 1030 Delcy Drive, Building 4W, Exit 25A. I've said it 100 times. I'll say it 100 more times. It's not far from where you are. To anybody listening, I don't care where you are.
It's kind of far from me.
Hogwash.
But we'll talk to you Saturday at the On Point Show. We'll be back next week, and I'm working on a big guest, and as soon as it's finalized, I will announce it all throughout social media. So,
Kevin Nash?
No. Have a good week, and we'll see you Saturday.
Damn it.
The movie will begin in 5 moments, the mindless voice announced. All those unseated will await the next show. We filed slowly, languidly into the hall. The auditorium was vast and silent. As we seated and were darkened, the voice continued. The program for this evening is not new. You have seen this entertainment through and through. You've seen your birth, your life, and death. You might recall all of the rest. Did you have a good world when you died? Enough to base a movie on?